going to be able to keep him calm. Hell, I'm not even calm. I just have years of practice and stoicism.
Well, Liam and I dated for a long time in high school, and then he went away to college, and things didn't work out for us, but...
Josie stops and clears her throat. I know this must be hard for her, remembering how good we had things, until I screwed everything up.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner, sweetie.
Tell me what?
Noah breaks in. His eyes are drawn in. I can tell he doesn't like to see his mom cry. He puts his hand on her shoulder and rubs it.
Liam is your dad, baby.
Josie sobs. My leg slams into the table as I get up, rushing to her side. I fall to my knees, pulling her into my arms. Her tears wet my neck, her cries muffled. I know I shouldn't, but I have to. I kiss below her ear, her cheek. Everything will be all right. I won't leave. I promise. I whisper with each kiss. She brings her face up, her eyes wet, red and puffy. My hands cup her face, pulling her closer. I kiss her full-on lips. Lips I've missed for so long. When she starts to pull away, I want to hang on. But she's not mine, and I shouldn't have kissed her. Not like that. I'm sorry, I say. She nods and wipes her face with the back of her hands. I move back to my seat without looking at Noah. He just saw a man kiss his mom. A man she's not engaged to. I risk a look at Noah. He's smiling. I'm not sure why, but he looks like a kid in a candy store.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you when you asked before,
Josie says. Her fingers thread through his hair, which seems to relax his jittery leg. Noah shrugs.
I already knew.
Josie and I look at each other, stone-faced. Our heads both turn slightly as we look at Noah.
What do you mean you knew? I ask.
Remember that day in the museum?
I nod.
Well, I was looking at a picture of you and Mason, and a teacher said I looked just like you, and then I saw you in the bathroom, and when I said my mom's name, you looked at me kind of funny. So I just guessed it.
You didn't want to say something? I ask.
I didn't know if you liked me, or if you wanted to be my dad.
Looking at my son, with tears in my eyes, I see me at this age. I reach out, cupping his face with my hand. Hell yes, I want to be your dad. My God, Noah, since the day I saw you, I've been bugging your mom about meeting you.
Was I an accident like Junior Appleton?
No, I answer, before Josie can say anything. Her eyes go wide. Your mom and I talked about having kids all the time. I was going to marry her, buy her a nice fancy house, and we were going to have a family. Noah looks at Josie, who nods in agreement. When he looks back at me, his eyes are like daggers.
What happened?
I went to college, and some things changed. Instead of taking your mom with me, I left everyone I knew behind and went to California to try something different. I didn't know about you until I met you the other day. Your mom. I looked up at Josie and smiled. She loves you, and she tried to find me. So don't be angry at her, okay?
Okay.
Remember when I said I had to go back to work? I'm going to stay for this week's game, then head back. But I'll be back, and you can call me any time you want to talk or have a question about football.
Can I tell people you're my dad?
I look to Josie for approval. She shrugs her shoulders.
I think that Beaumont is far enough off the beaten path that paparazzi won't bug him, but I'm not sure.
I also don't want him to feel like he has to hide me.
You can, but listen, buddy. There are people who like to take my picture and think they can get close to me through my friends. If anyone gives you a hard time or starts following you around, you just call me, and I'll take care of everything, okay?
And we need to tell Nick,
Josie says, as she runs her hand through Noah's hair. I thought she had, which would explain why he was so angry yesterday. I know I shouldn't care, but he's been raising my son. I should respect his feelings.
Listen to me, Noah. I want you to listen to Nick and treat him the same because he's your dad, too. You are going to be one of those special boys that have an amazing set of parents.
The timer on the stove goes off, and Noah breathes a sigh of relief before announcing that he's starving to death. Josie jumps up and hurries into the kitchen, leaving Noah and I sitting at the table.
Do you love my mom?
Yes, I reply without hesitation.
Like, really, really love her?
Where do you learn this stuff? I don't remember knowing what love was at 9 years old. My only focus was football, and how far I could throw the ball. Girls weren't even on my radar at this age.
School?
What else do they teach you in school these days? Noah shrugs.
Do you love her like you did before?
Yes, I say again, because it's the truth. I never stopped loving her, and absence doesn't make the heart grow fonder. I've been in love with Josephine Preston since I can remember, and now I'm too late. But it doesn't change things. Your mom has moved on and is going to marry Nick. You and I, though, you're going to be my sidekick.
Can I go on tour with you?
Josie enters just as Noah asks. I'm not sure how to answer, but I'm sure as hell not telling him no. Josie is watching me out of the corner of her eye, waiting for me to screw this up. She sets plates in front of us and takes a seat across from Noah. Maybe, I say, as I pick up my fork. It will depend on where I'm going and if it's during the summer. You can't miss school, and you don't want to miss football. Do you play any other sports? I dig into my dinner and hum when the savory chicken hits my taste buds. I haven't had a home-cooked meal in a long time. Even the food at Caitlin's was just party food. This is a real dinner.
I play baseball because Nick likes it, but I want to learn the guitar.
I'll teach you.
You will? Awesome!
Dinner conversation flows fairly well. We talk about his teacher and his homework. He tells us that he has a crush on a girl at school, but doesn't want to give us her name. Josie and Noah ask about Los Angeles and what it's like. I tell them there are a lot of people. The traffic is horrible, so I hate leaving my place, and that it can be really hot. But we have Disneyland and nice beaches, and the Hollywood sign. Noah asks what my cat's name is, and I'm ashamed to admit I never named it. Noah says that's why it hates me. And he's probably right. Noah drills me about music and MTV, asking me if I like being on there, and I tell him no, but that I don't have a choice. He says he listened to some of my music and tells me I'm really good. I wasn't prepared when he asked who my songs were about. I shrugged and went back to eating. There were some things I just wasn't going to answer. Being a school night, our time is cut short. Noah complains, but I ask him if I can come watch his practice tomorrow. I remind him that I'll also be at his game this week. Josie invites me over for dinner again, and I eagerly agree. I want to spend time with her simply because being in the same room as her calms me. It also spurs my creative side, and I can't wait to get back in the studio, even though I'll be leaving them both behind. Josie and I sit down for coffee once Noah is in bed, and she sets some rules. I don't exactly agree, but understand where she's coming from. No elaborate gifts or fancy toys. I ask about a phone, and she says yes, as long as I'm the one paying. I laugh and then quickly realize that maybe she and Nick aren't sharing expenses. The more I think about it, the more pissed off I get. If he's living here and playing dad, why is she worrying about money? I put a note in my phone to write her a check for 10 years of back child support. Leaving Josie's house is hard. I hate the idea of them alone in the house by themselves, but she assured me she's used to it. I still don't like it. Instead of going back to my hotel, I head for the cemetery. I haven't been back since we buried Mason, and I could really use him right now, even if it just means he's listening. I'm surprised I can find his plot in the dark, but I do. All his standing sprays are still in bloom, and I wonder if Josie has been out here taking care of the flowers each day. So, I have a son, I say, while rearranging the flowers covering his plot. I have a 9-year-old son who looks just like me, and plays football, quarterback no less. I'm guessing it's pretty cool being a dad. I don't know yet because I only found out by accident, and Josie just told Noah today. He seems cool with it, until he realizes I'm not around all the time like Nick. God, how could you let her hook up with Nick Ashford? Man, when I saw him at your funeral, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. But I guess you guys became buddies or something, huh? I sit down in the dirt, pulling my knees to my chest. I'm sorry, Mason. You'll never know how sorry I am for leaving like I did. I should have called or something. Come home after a year. All I can say is that I'm sorry, and I'll make it up to Caitlin, and make sure she's taken care of. I can do that for her, and you and your girls, especially Peyton. Someone is going to have to teach her a 5-step drop. Might as well be me. I set my hand over his dirt pile and say a silent prayer before leaving. The ride back to my hotel is long and lonely. Now that I have Noah and he knows the truth, I want to spend all my time with him. I just need to figure out how.
Chapter 20. Josie. I never thought I'd feel anything for Liam again. Those feelings had been long dead, and then he started coming around. First, it was dinner he brought over for Noah and me. He was already in the house and cooking when I came home from work. The next night, I cooked again. He stayed late, and when he pulled out my favorite movie and a bottle of wine, I knew I was starting to lose it. I wanted more than anything to cuddle up next to him on the couch, but he wouldn't sit next to me. He sat in the chair, looking uncomfortable while I sat on the couch as close to him as I could get. The night Nick came home, I half expected Liam to be in my kitchen, but he wasn't. I tried not to watch or listen for him to pull into my driveway, and knew deep down that he wasn't coming over. It didn't matter that I wanted to see him. He wasn't coming to see me anyway, just Noah, and I needed to accept that. Besides, I have Nick. And Nick is who I want. Nick is who I'm going to marry. Nick is the one who I've been with for the past 6 years. We share a house and have been raising my son together. So why am I sitting in the living room with the lights off while he sleeps upstairs, going through my box full of Liam? I should be upstairs in bed with him, but since he's come home, I've slept on the couch, feigning a stomach ache. When Nick asked if I thought whether or not I was pregnant, I wanted to cry. Not because I don't want another baby, but because if we have one, it won't look like Noah. It wouldn't look like me and Liam. My finger trails over his football picture, his helmet tucked up underneath his arm, his eye black patches not showing his number, but Joe. His friends gave him such shit for that, but he didn't care. Hey, beautiful. Liam picks me up. I can't help but squeal. I've officially turned into one of the girls I said I'd never be. Oh my God, I'm a cliché. Liam puts me down, spinning me to face him. His eye black is different. His number is missing. You know you're wearing the name Joe on your face?
Of course I know. It says Jojo.
Yes, it does. I laugh at how silly he is. He pulls me closer, kissing me deeply. He's not afraid if we get caught by a teacher. I am, but he promises nothing bad will happen, and I trust him.
I love Jojo more than anything.
You do, huh? Should I be worried? Liam shakes his head, a smirk breaking through his tough guy act.
You're my JoJo. Just mine,
he says. He kisses me again before running off. He's halfway out to the field, and I'm still watching his backside. He's got such a nice ass.
Hey, JoJo,
he yells. Yeah? I yell back.
I'm going to marry you someday.
I thought for sure we'd spend forever together. I thought our love was one of a kind. I would almost be okay if he had met someone else and fallen in love. But he didn't. He just left. He said he was suffocating. I had this dream, the all-American dream, and we were living it. The head cheerleader dating the quarterback and captain of the football team. We were the poster kids for romance throughout the town. Everyone knew we were together, and nothing was going to break us up. Other girls tried, but Liam brushed them off so quick I felt sorry for them. Sometimes. We used to have dinner with his parents every Sunday night at the Beaumont Country Club. Mrs. Westbury was cold as ice, and Mr. Westbury just looked down at me. I went to them when I couldn't get a hold of Liam, asking if they knew where he was. But his dad said he was happy that Liam finally put out the trash. I was so hurt that I blurted out that this trash is carrying his grandchild.
Well, the whore finally did it,
he said, before slamming the door in my face. Liam hasn't asked about his parents and whether they know Noah. I don't know what he'll say if I tell him about his dad. I know deep in my heart, Liam never thought I was trash. Maybe he won't ask, and I won't have to tell him. Pressure on my shoulder wakes me. Squinting through one eye, I see Nick hovering over me. An immediate sense of dread washes over me when I open my eyes and see his expression. I sit up, pulling my afghan around me. Nick hands me a cup of coffee and sits down next to me. Aren't you going to be late for work? I ask. I know I am, but Jenna can open the shop by herself.
I called Barbara and told her I was going to be late. I thought we might need to talk.
He points to the Liam box, the one I've been hiding for years.
It looks like you were taking a trip down memory lane.
I sip my coffee carefully while I think of what to say. I don't want to lie to him, but no matter what I say, it will seem like a lie. Can you be in love with two different people? What if my feelings for Liam are only there because of Noah? Because I'm finally getting to see my boy with his father. Is that the love I'm feeling for Liam? Mason...
It's not Mason that you were looking at, Josie. Please don't patronize me by lying.
Nick won't look at me. We've never truly fought before. There have been many awkward moments, especially after I told him no each time he'd ask me to marry him. I'm sorry. I set my cup down on the coffee table, careful not to use any of the pictures as a coaster. I try not to look at them as I pick them up. But one of Liam and I catches my eye. Nick's heavy sigh snaps me out of my reverie. I put the pile of pictures back in their safety box and shut the lid.
Do you really need to keep those? You'll see most of those people at our reunion.
Yes, I need to keep them, I snap.
Really? Why? So you can remember all the good times? Is that it?
What do you want me to say, huh? That I'm sorry I kept those photos? I'm not sorry. He's my son's father, Nick, and whether you like it or not, he's going to be around a lot more. I can't sit next to him anymore. I get up and start to pace. My hands are shaking. I'm so angry.
What the hell do you mean he'll be around more? Over my dead body.
He stands, spilling his coffee. I'm so thankful I moved those pictures because they would have been ruined now. Why are we fighting about this? We knew this was going to happen one day. If Liam didn't come back, Noah was going to ask.
Yeah. But I thought my fiancé would have at least talked to me first so we could make the right decision for our son.
I try not to roll my eyes at his usage of our son. I know I'm being a bitch, but I did what's best for Noah. I go and retrieve a dish towel and start cleaning up the coffee. I made a decision. I invited Liam over for dinner and we told Noah the other night. I'm sorry I didn't consult you. I didn't do it to cause a fight. I thought I was doing the right thing.
Right for who? You and Liam?
Right for Noah. Nick paces in front of the living room window, his hands clenched together at the back of his neck. I walk over to him, placing my hand on his shoulder. He flinches and moves away from me.
Did you sleep with him?
What? How can you ask me that? I ask him incredulously. I'm just... Really, Nick, after everything we've been through, how can you ask me that?
Simple, he says, turning to face me. I ask you over and over again to marry me, and it's always no. I asked after Mason passed away because I don't want to live like this anymore. Then Liam shows up. So maybe I'm thinking he's been in contact with you and you knew he was coming and you had this whole thing planned out.
That's not fair.
No, Josie. What's not fair is me coming home and spending these past few nights in our bed alone, only to wake and find you asleep on the couch with photos of your ex everywhere. Then you drop the bomb that you decided, by yourself, to tell a boy I've been raising, who his father is, because you wanted to. This is not the Josephine I fell in love with. I don't know what happened while I was gone, or what he's done to make you act like this, but I don't like it.
Nick storms out of the house, slamming the door not only on me, but on our conversation. After Nick comes home from work, we head to the field. Liam is leaving tonight after the game, so this is the last time he and Noah will see each other for a while. Liam bought him an iPhone and thought he'd be sneaky when he handed me a check for an obscene amount of money. I was told to keep it, if I didn't need it, use it for a rainy day, or spend it on Noah however I wanted. Nick's mood didn't improve once he saw Liam at the field. Noah ran up to him and jumped into his arms. I heard Nick mutter something unintelligible. I ignored him. I didn't go talk to Liam, but Peyton did. They stood together, she on his shoulders, and watched Noah play. When it was over, Noah left the field and headed straight to Liam, infuriating Nick. I want Nick to be understanding. I get why he's not. But what's done is done. There's no going back. Noah's father is leaving and won't be back for who knows how long. Nick could at least give him a chance to say goodbye.
Noah, let's go.
Nick huffs as he throws the gear into the back of his truck. Liam shakes his head and walks over toward us, Noah right beside him. I can't believe how much they look alike.
So, I'll be back next month for a week. As soon as I know which week, I'll call and let you know, okay?
I nod, unable to find my voice. I don't want this reunion to end.
You be good, okay? And listen to Nick, just like we discussed.
He bends down and hugs his son, the son he just met and is now leaving.
Bye, Dad!
Noah says before running off to the truck. The look on Liam's face must match mine.
Don't worry, Jojo.
He whispers to me. He places a kiss on my cheek before walking away.
Take care of my family, Nick.
Liam says as he slips his helmet on, muffling out Nick's tirade. I watch Liam's bike as it flies down the road. When my eyes meet Nick's, he's glaring at me. He shakes his head, punching his truck in the process. I think I just lost my fiancé.
Chapter 21. Liam. It feels good being back in my studio. Since returning, I've been writing like crazy. I think at this point I have enough for a new album. Today, my bassist Jimmy and drummer Harrison are coming in to lay down some melodies. I should be happy, but I'm not. This is why I left my life behind. I'm antsy as fuck and want to get back to Beaumont. The first few days back were questionable. I tried to call Noah a couple of times, but couldn't bring myself to do it. What if he didn't want to talk to me now that I was gone? The moment I saw his face light up my screen, I knew that wasn't the case. When I answered, he seemed happy, excited, asking a lot of questions about L.A. and the studio. He asked me to send him pictures of the cat, and I did. Now I can't talk to him enough. The hours that he's at school and the time difference make me anxious. Weekends are now my friend. and I hate Mondays, effectively killing my high from spending hours chatting with my son. I haven't told the band yet, but I will. I just want to keep Noah to myself for a bit. Harrison is the only other parent around. He has a 7-year-old boy. Quinn is a product of a one-night stand that turned into the baby mama dropping her blue bundle of joy on Harrison's doorstep. Instant daddy. When I see Josie's face on my caller ID, panic ensues. Something must be wrong with Noah, otherwise she wouldn't be calling. We haven't spoken since I left. It's not that I don't want to, but I don't want to screw shit up for her and Nick. Hello?
Hi.
She's breathless. I close my eyes and count to 10. She can't talk to me like this. It kills me that she's not mine. What? My voice catches in my throat from the way she said hi. I need to get a grip here. It was just a common 2-letter word. It doesn't mean anything. What's up?
Today is Monday.
She says this like it's supposed to mean something to me. I rack my brain, wondering if Noah had mentioned something particular about this Monday. It usually follows Sunday, I say, hoping to lighten her mood.
Mason sends Caitlin a dozen roses every Monday, and today will be the first day that she won't get flowers since...
If I didn't know better, I'd say she's crying. Well, we can't have Caitlin missing her flower delivery now, can we? I pull up the internet and type in the address for the Global Florists. I choose a bouquet of lilies over the roses and request they be delivered via Josie's shop. All set.
What do you mean?
I mean, I ordered her flowers. She'll get a delivery every Monday for a year.
Liam.
Her voice breaks, and now I know she's trying to control her emotions. These past weeks have been hard on her. The Josie I knew was always strong and confident. Then she lost Mason, and I returned, creating havoc. We stay on the phone for a few more minutes before she has to go and fill my order. Hanging up with her is the last thing I want to do. But work calls for both of us. When the guys come in, they seem happy. This mini vacation must have done them good. We sit down and I show them the songs I've been working on. Harrison starts laughing at a few of them, earning a punch from Jimmy. I sit stoically, waiting for them to say something.
Did you fall in love while you were away? Harrison asks.
Yes, but I never really fell out of love. She just showed me what I've been missing all these years. No, saw a lot of old friends. My buddy died and left behind a wife and 2 kids. Sort of hits home, I guess.
Well, I like them, Jimmy says. Putting music down for these won't take us much time at all. I already have a few ideas.
We take to the studio and start brainstorming with different sounds. Most of the songs could end up being ballads, but we want to stay away from that. We need to add a rock vibe to keep our fans interested. If I put out an album full of love songs, people will think I've gone soft. Painkillers has to be a slow song, I say when Jimmy starts singing it.
Why? We could blow this one up.
I shake my head. I want that one slow. I want people to feel the words and what they mean. I don't want them lost in the loud vibrations. Painkillers is the first track we work on. It only takes a few tries before I'm happy with the melody. I'm going to have to push Sam to make this our first single. I want to release it as soon as possible. After the guys leave for the night, I work on mixing, playing Painkillers over and over until I'm happy. I decide we're going to give it another shot tomorrow before we record the final. Papers land on my mixing board. I turn down the track and leave my headphones on. I want to hear myself sing to Josie. The song has to be perfect. Sam is leaning against the board, pissing me off because she knows not to touch my shit.
What's this?
What do you want?
Were you going to tell me you're back in town?
I turn away from her and move the papers she threw. You're my manager, not my mother. You handle my affairs, not my personal life, Sam.
Well, this is my job.
She picks up the stacks of papers and starts flipping through them.
Let's see. Liam Page playing at Ralph's, no cover. OMG, Liam Page is so hot, he's at Ralph's free show. Oh, and my personal favorite, Liam Page debuts new song at local pub.
Get to the point, I'm busy.
This,
she shakes the papers in my face,
is my point. You were off doing God knows what with God knows who, and decided to have a free show without even consulting me. Jesus, Liam, do you know how much of a PR nightmare this is?
I refuse to answer her because she'd never understand why I did the show in the first place. She doesn't do nice for any of her friends. It's all about what can you do for me with her, and that's not who I want to be. The show was a success, and Ralph did a hell of a lot of business that night. I have no regrets.
Are you listening to me?
Not really. I'm trying to work.
I knew you heading back to that podunk town was a mistake. Maybe I should go check out Beaumont and see what all the excitement is about.
I pull off my headphones and stand up to face her.
What's your problem? You, Liam. I'm sick of this cat-and-mouse game we play. It's time to make a decision.
I start to laugh, anger building. You're the one playing games. I'm not into you. What we did was a mistake, Sam. A very weak moment on my part because you were available and willing to give me what I wanted.
You don't mean that,
she whines. I stuff my hands into my pocket, feeling for my phone. It's time for me to call Noah. I walk away from her until she grabs my arm.
Liam, what we had was special.
What we had was sex, nothing more. I leave her standing in the studio. I need to rein her in before she gets out of hand. Lately, she's been more possessive, and it's starting to scare me. I should have never mixed business with pleasure, and she's strictly business. I walk down the hall until I'm far enough away from the studio. Crouching down, I pull out my phone and call Noah.
Hey, Dad,
he answers before the first ring has completed. The sound of his voice sends warmth through my body. I want to record his voice so I can play it all the time.
What's up, buddy? How was school?
It's okay. I have to do a history report, but Mom said she'd help me.
That's good. You know I'd help if I was there, right?
Yeah, I know.
When he speaks, I know he means it. I can't detect any remorse in his voice at all.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course. My knees start to cramp, so I stand, leaning against the wall that holds my gold records.
Do your mom and dad want to be my grandparents?
I stiffen at the mention of my parents. I haven't spoken to them since the night I left. My dad told me I was a disgrace and stupid for giving up football to pursue music. Said I'd never make it. My mom just stood there, a tumbler of vodka in her hand.
What are you doing home?
You always know you're welcome in your home when you're greeted like that. Sterling folds and sets his newspaper down, pulling off his glasses. Bianca stands in the foyer, her vodka glass permanently stained with her scarlet-red lipstick.
I need to talk to you.
What did you do, Liam? Are you in some type of trouble?
No, sir. I can't look at him. He's always looked down on me, making me feel 2 feet tall. I left school.
Obviously, you can return in the morning.
I shake my head. I can't go back. I quit.
What do you mean you quit?
He bellows, causing my mom to jump, the ice rattling around in her glass.
I thought it would be different, and it's not. And I've been talking to Grandma Betty.
You what?
Do you think I've raised you to be a Westbury so you can associate with trash like that? Trash? She's your wife's mother. I point to Mom, who has no expression on her face. My God, what is your problem? She's family. I know what you did. What you both did. Mom, you gave up your dreams to marry him. I point at my dad. And you made her. Why? Why weren't her dreams as important as yours? Look at her. She's a damn robot. Betty is clearly poison, if that is what she told you. So tell me, smartass, what are your plans?
I'm going to go to Los Angeles for a bit to try my hand at music.
Sterling starts laughing, a maniacal laugh. Bianca walks into the room and fills her tumbler. She must coat her liver with medicine in order to function. Typical.
If you do not return to school immediately, don't come back here.
You're kicking me out for following a dream? Sterling picks up his paper and pops it open, crossing his leg.
No, Liam. I am simply instructing you of your options. You have two. You can go back to school, speak with your coach, and secure your spot on the team, or you can walk out that door, lose your trust fund, and forget that you're a Westbury.
I don't know, buddy. Let's talk about it when I come back, okay? My parents, they're difficult sometimes, and we don't always get along.
Okay. What are we going to do when you get here?
Well, I thought we could look for a house. I don't want to stay in a hotel when I'm there, and I was thinking that maybe your mom will let you stay with me for the time I'm there. But I'll have to talk to her about it, okay? You don't need to bring it up. I'll take care of everything. I gotta go, though, so I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Night. I love you, Dad.
I love you, too. I slide down the wall after Noah hangs up. I knew my parents were going to come up sooner or later. I was just hoping for much, much later. My hand runs through my hair. I think I'll grow it out to the way Josie liked it. Maybe then she'll look at me with different eyes. I'm not going to lie. I want my girl back.
Did you knock someone up?
I turn to see Sam, standing in the hall, hands on her hips. She's pissed.
Chapter 22. Josie. With Halloween out of the way and the countdown to Liam's return looming, Nick is on edge. He hasn't changed much since Liam left last time, and it's not like I haven't tried. He's uptight and stressed. He says it's work, but I know it's me. It's my actions and disrespect for his feelings. I've put unnecessary strain on our relationship and haven't been fair to him. I've thrown myself into work, as much as I can anyway. I've decided to expand and have rented out the adjacent building for more window frontage. I plan to add a coffee shop and bring in live music. When I showed Nick my business plan, I thought he'd be happy. I was wrong. He accused me of providing Liam a place to play whenever he wanted. When I kindly reminded him that Liam Page does not need me for anything, he scoffed and left the table. We were partners until I screwed it all up. Now I need to fix it and don't know how. Everyone says you hit a rough patch in life, but this is more like road rash that won't go away, and I need it to because I miss Nick, and I hate that he's hurting because of me. When Jenna arrives, the contractor is following behind her, staring at her ass. Some men are so crass. She comes behind the counter and drops her purse in the cabinet before turning her attention on him. She thinks he's a customer, and he just might be after today. Maybe I can bribe her into dating him while construction is going on so I can get a good deal. I've just turned into not only a shitty fiancé, but an equally bad friend. I need help. Hi, Harry, I say over Jenna.
Hey, Josie,
he replies while looking at Jenna. I snap my fingers to get his attention. It takes forever for his eyes to finally meet mine. Great. Now he'll be distracted by Jenna the whole time he's here. Let's discuss my plans next door, I say, grabbing the keys and walking around the counter. I pull the sleeve of his shirt to follow me and don't let go until we are safely outside.
I whack him in the arm. What the hell, Harry?
She's beautiful.
Yeah, well, she's off limits. You're here to work, and she doesn't date, so don't get any ideas. I open the door to the adjacent building. Harry follows me in. I like his work. He renovated the flower shop for me. I know I can trust him. I was thinking of opening the wall here, I point to the adjoining wall, and making the back wall either coolers or put a larger walk-in right over in that corner. This side of the room, I say, walking to the other side, has backyard access, so I'd like to be able to have a greenhouse. And in the corner by the second window, I'd like to put a stage for performing. The counter will go right there. I point to the opposite wall. Harry starts making notes and begins measuring the walls. He knocks on the walls and writes notes where he was knocking.
I can start tomorrow if you're ready.
I'm ready, I reply quickly. I'm eager to start and bring a new aspect to my business.
Will you want a new sign for out front?
I nod. Yeah, I think so. I'll order all the equipment and you can take care of the rest?
Uh-huh,
he says while writing on his notepad.
I'm going to have to hire someone for a sound system.
That's fine, Harry. I trust you. I leave Harry to finish his assessment and head back to the shop. It will be nice once the wall comes down. I know my idea is grand, but I have a vision, and I plan to make sure it succeeds. Who is that? Jenna asks as soon as I walk in the door. I can't tell by her expression if she was happy to be gawked at or disgusted. That was Harry. He's the contractor working on the expansion. I told him you were off limits. Good. Thanks. I mean, I know I've been here for 3 years, but I'm just not ready. She bundles the bouquet she's working on and wraps it in purple and gold paper. I love that we allow the customers the option of different colored paper. Most florists only offer green or newsprint. I like to add character to my flowers. I brought you something that came in my email this morning, Jenna says, motioning to the counter. I pick up the piece of paper, reading the headline, and looking at her. What's this? When I started here, I signed up for these mailing lists about being a florist. I didn't want you to think you could never take a day off, so I needed to learn. Anyway, it came today, and I thought it might interest you. Leaning over the counter, I read about the convention, the opportunity to take classes, workshops, and attend a trade show all in one convenient location, it says. I've never attended one before, but with the expansion, maybe it's time I start expanding my knowledge base. I should do this. Yes, you should, she replies. When I look at her, she's grinning from ear to ear. What? It's in Los Angeles, and it's next week. I look back at the paper. Sure enough, it is. My heart pounds just a bit faster at the thought of seeing Liam. What if I saw him walking down the street? Would he hug me if he saw me, or ignore me? I'm being silly. It's a huge place. I'll never run into him. You should go, she says, putting her hand on my arm. You and Nick need a break. Maybe a few days apart will do you some good. Jenna, she puts her hand up, stopping me. Her head shakes slightly. Don't, Josie. I'm not saying go there and cheat on Nick. I'm saying go and work, and if you meet the father of your son for dinner or coffee to discuss the upcoming holidays, then so be it. Just don't deny yourself this opportunity. Jenna turns her back and finishes up her orders. I stand, my hip against the counter, reading the blurred words over and over again. All I can think about is seeing Liam, but I know that doing so would hurt Nick, and I refuse to hurt him any more than I already have. I sit in the dark, still clutching the flyer. Jenna has long left, the shit-eating grin still plastered on her face when she shut and locked the door behind her. I wanted to ask her why she would give this to me, but could never get the words out. My thumb hovers over Liam's name. I'm not sure if I should call him. What if he says it's not a good idea, or tells me to come, but he's busy? Can I take the rejection? I jump when a horn blares. My thumb inadvertently hits the call button. His and Noah's faces light up my screen. It's a picture I took when neither of them knew I was in the room. My hand shakes as I bring my phone to my ear. I listen through the rings and hope he doesn't answer.
Hello?
He doesn't sound out of breath or rushed when he answers. Just calm, and very Liam.
I didn't mean to call, I say, barely audible.
I'm happy you did. I like hearing your voice.
You shouldn't say things like that to me. He laughs.
Well, if you expect me to lie or keep my emotions in check, it's not going to happen. So what do I owe the pleasure of your call? I'm very happy to hear your voice.
God, are you this smooth with all your women?
There are no women, Josie. I promise you. So what's up?
I'm thinking of coming to LA for a trade show and wanted to know if you wanted to get coffee. Liam is silent for a moment. I can hear him breathing, so I know he didn't hang up on me.
Are you bringing Noah?
No, this is next week and he has a Boy Scout camping trip. It would just be me. I mean, if you're busy and don't have time, I understand. I know this is short notice and you probably have a bunch of parties and whatever to—
Josie.
What?
Shut up for a minute, jeez. I want to see you, Jojo. I'll make the time. Where will you be staying?
I unfold the flyer and look. I tell him where, and he starts to laugh. What's so funny?
Nothing. It's just that I live on the top floor.
I'm going to be spending the weekend in Liam's hotel. I think I'm in trouble.
Chapter 23. Liam. Josie is in LA today. In fact, she's downstairs in the convention center. I know this shouldn't be the only thing on my mind, but it is. I snagged one of the agendas for the trade show she's attending so I could keep my schedule clear. I've canceled two interviews, which did not go over well with Sam. She demanded, in a very high-pitched screech, that I was to tell her who I knocked up while I was gone so she could do damage control. I've told her repeatedly that no one is pregnant, but she's not buying it. Her obsession with pregnancy is starting to scare me. I wanted to meet Josie at the airport, but didn't dare ask her when her flight was arriving. I need to try and keep my cool, even though I'm tempted to visit that side of the hotel and see if I can find her. We're having dinner tonight in my penthouse. I'm not taking her out of this hotel if I can manage it. I don't want her face splattered all over the gossip columns and rag TV shows. I don't even want the press to know her name. They'll start digging, and that will put Noah in harm's way. I shouldn't bring her to my room, though. I know it's a mistake, but since I kissed her the night we told Noah about me being his father, I haven't been able to stop thinking about her. I know she's off limits. I know she's marrying another man. But I'm a glutton for punishment because having her in my space is enough for me, even if I can't touch her like I want to. I look at the nameless cat sitting on the windowsill and have to laugh. Noah can't wait to meet him. I've started looking for houses in Beaumont, something for me and Noah. Most of the houses there are good size, but I want a nice big yard and something with a basement that I can soundproof and turn into a studio. As much as I'd love to take a week off a month, deadlines are looming, and this new album is coming together rather quickly. That means Sam will schedule another tour and put us back out on the road and farther away from Noah. I should have stalled on these songs. A knock and announcement of room service puts a smile on my face. The front desk knows to give Josie an access card to my floor when she presents herself there in a few minutes. My nerves are on edge. Opening the door, it's one of my regular delivery guys. This is good and bad. Good because I know him. Bad because he knows I eat alone, and I'm definitely not eating alone tonight. Having company tonight, Mr. Page? He asks as he pushes the service card into my room. No, Michael. Just a meeting. This is some fancy and romantic dinner for a meeting. She's writing a book. I need to make sure she gets everything right. I don't want to be misquoted. I lie through my teeth. I hear that, Mr. Page. Where do you want it? I want it in my bedroom, but that's just not an option. Over by the balcony is where we are going to eat, but I don't want room service to know that. I have no doubt Michael is going to gossip when he gets back downstairs. We'll eat at the table, I say. He nods and pushes the cart over there, unloading and setting the table. I look at my watch, counting the seconds as they go by. He seems to be moving extremely slow. She's going to show up any moment.
I put the extra bottle of champagne in your refrigerator, sir.
Thank you, Michael. I hand him his tip, and he's out the door. I breathe a sigh of relief. Now I just need Josie. A soft knock sends me running to the door. I look down at what I'm wearing and bang my head against my fist. I should have changed. We're having a nice dinner, and I'm showing up in jeans and a t-shirt. I open the door. My breathing stops. Standing before me is my girl. Her hair is up in a bun, a few strands hanging down all around her head. She's wearing a red V-neck dress that is showing me every curve that I remember, and some new ones that I think I need to learn. Her dress stops at her knees and is quickly met by black knee-high boots. An image of me on my knees with the zipper in my mouth flashes before my eyes. Definitely something I want to try with her someday. God, Jojo, you're beautiful. She blushes and runs her hands down the front of her dress. Moving aside to let her in, I inhale deeply when she passes so I can take in her scent. Pure flowers. Very Josie. When she walks by, my eyes feast on her backside. I swallow hard. I slam the door, causing her to jump. When she turns, her blush hasn't subsided, and I hope it's because I do that to her, and not because she's having second thoughts about being up in my room. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle you.
It's fine. I'm just a little jumpy today.
I understand the nerves. I've had them all day. I guide her into the living room area. Her eyes go wide when she sees the view from the glass wall.
Wow, Liam, this is...
She steps over to the wall, leaving me standing here and giving me the opportunity to watch her take in the bright lights of Los Angeles. She shakes her head. Her hand covers her mouth.
What's wrong?
I ask, keeping my distance.
I can see why you left me. It's beautiful.
It's pretty spectacular at night when it's like this. During the day, not so much. I come up behind her and place my hand gently on her hip. Look over there. I point to where the spotlights are lighting up the sky. That's a movie premiere. There are probably a couple thousand screaming fans down there right now.
Have you ever been?
She asks. She closes her eyes and leans her head on my shoulder. I have to remind myself to be a good boy. I have. It's an experience. I hold her like this for a moment, wishing it could be all night. Josie, what you said about me, leaving you for this, it's not like that. I wanted you with me every minute of every day, but I didn't think you'd come. She doesn't reply and does the unthinkable and turns away from me to look around the room. She touches my Grammys, my gold records, and the album covers I have on the wall.
You've done really well for yourself.
I was determined. I had a lot to prove.
To who?
Me, mostly. I bring her toward the table, pulling a chair out for her. She sits and I push it in slightly. She pulls her napkin to her lap while I pour glasses of champagne. Sorry, I didn't dress up. This is my usual attire until I'm at one of those events. I motion to the window.
Do you go often?
I pull the covers off our food and sit down. It depends on what I have going on. If I have a new album coming out, yes, I go. It's free publicity, and I'll be able to push the release date or talk about the single playing on the radio. I've had to go a few times because I, well, actually my band, have contributed to a soundtrack. Josie is quiet for a few minutes. She focuses on her food, and I wonder if I said something wrong. I hope that I didn't, but she has to see how different my life is here over what we would have had in Beaumont. Can I ask you a question?
Of course,
she says before taking a sip of her champagne. Would you have liked all of this? The lights, noise, the traveling, and long hours?
not being able to live a peaceful life. There would be no walking down the street without someone taking your picture. You'd worry about what or who you were wearing to a premiere, and people would be your friends because of who you are or married to. Is this something you could see for yourself? Josie puts down her fork, bringing her napkin to her lips. When she pulls it away, she smiles at me.
If you're asking me today if I could live like this, the answer is no. I've lived such a quiet life for the last 10 years, I wouldn't know what to do with all of this if I had to do it now. But had you said you were giving me an option of never seeing you again, or moving here so you could try your hand at music, I would have gone with you. I would have left that night because you were my life, Liam.
I didn't think you would, and I didn't want to hear you tell me no, or belittle me for wanting something different. I needed to try this.
And now that you have?
I shake my head. There is no right answer for this one. It won't matter what I say, because I've lost 10 years with her and our son. I love my life, Jojo, and I hate it all in one. I love what I do, making music and entertaining people. I wrote a whole album that you and Noah inspired in 2 weeks. That feeling alone is indescribable for me. I lean forward and pull her hand into mine. But not having you in my life has been tough. I miss everything about you. And I wake up in the morning and think, what the fuck did I do? Because I had the most beautiful girl on my arm and gave her up for what? This? I spread my arm out. I live in a hotel because it's convenient. They do my cooking, cleaning, and laundry if I want them to. I have someone who dictates what interviews I can give and whose designer clothes I'm going to wear. I'm her fucking puppet because I pay her to do this job, and I think about giving it up. But then I remember why I do it, and can't.
You're really good at what you do.
Thank you, I say, bringing her hand to my lips. I place small kisses along her knuckles. I reluctantly let her hand go and pour us some more champagne.
Are you trying to get me drunk?
I give her my patented look. Her mouth drops open. Her eyes glaze over. Josie has just met Liam Page.
Chapter 24. Josie. I've been able to avoid most of Liam's looks, until this one. I know my mouth is hanging open like a fish, my tongue dry. I cross my legs to ward off the throbbing between my thighs. I sit back, and he smiles, shaking his head. He gets up, stopping behind me.
What's wrong, Jojo?
He whispers seductively, his nose skimming behind my ear, making my breathing labored and unsteady. When he bites my ear, I squirm in my seat. I have to move away from him before I do something I regret. He starts laughing and plants a kiss on my cheek. When he returns from the kitchen, he has another bottle of champagne. And now I'm in trouble. That wasn't nice, I say, trying to be stern.
You know, if you're having a bit of an issue, I could help you.
His eyes are devious as he stares at me. He swallows, and I watch his Adam's apple move, remembering the countless kisses I've placed there. I've heard about this look that you give women.
I didn't peg you for one who bought those trashy magazines.
Jenna does, and she told me. She wants to go to one of your concerts. She didn't know who you were until you came to town. I mean, she knew, just not the connection.
Remind me to send her tickets and a backstage pass.
I don't think so, I reply. I don't think I want any woman to ever experience that look from Liam again.
Josephine Preston, are you jealous?
I pick up my glass and down some liquid courage. She thinks you're hot. I know she's my friend, but I also know she hasn't dated in 3 years, and if you did that, she'd turn to a pile of goo and fall down at your feet. I'd hate to think.
I only have eyes for one woman, period.
Liam sets down his knife and fork, resting his elbows on the table and folding his hands together.
When I saw you, I knew I had made a mistake. I should have never left, or at least come